We love you, Jesus. It's all about you, Lord. All about you. This day is all about you, Lord. You're the one, the creator and the giver of all life. You gave life and breath to all. Hallelujah. And we're here to worship you today. We are celebrating the life we have in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. God is so good and so amazing. He is the true joy giver. Amen. True joy comes from Him. And He wants His people to have joy. We should be the most joyful people on the planet. Come on, because He is the God who is our exceeding joy. He is our exceeding joy. I like this explanation for that word or interpretation, whatever it is. It's peace dancing. This joy is peace dancing. He is our peace that passes all understanding. We've been talking about methods, you know. If we are seeking through methodologies or through, you know, technique to reach God, we're totally missing it. It's called religion. But this is about a relationship with a living God. Amen? It's not about following some even principle, unless the principle is bringing you into an encounter with the living God. It's just a principle on a page. So the Word of God, the written Word of God, is to reveal the living Word of God so we may know Him. This is eternal life, that we know Him. And we just don't know about Him. We can't tell. We can tell people about Jesus, but do we know Jesus? That's eternal life. And so God so loved us that He took the first step. God is love, you know, and He loved us first. Aren't you glad that He loved us first?
Amen.
We didn't love God, He loved us. None of us at one time loved God, but He loved us. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
We didn't love God, and it's impossible for us to love God unless we have an encounter with Him who is love.
Amen.
When you experience and receive His love, who is Christ to us, His gift, then we can love Him. So if you don't love God, it's because you don't know Christ yet. You're still pre-Christian. But loving God is a result of the love of God that's manifest in us by His Spirit. Amen. The Bible says that the love of God will be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And in the commandment, thou shalt love God, what? Your Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, strength, right, soul. Your entire being, you are to love God. This is the greatest commandment of all. And yet, how can we know Him? How can we love Him who we haven't seen? It's not a matter of seeing God, is it? Because you can see Him in your heart. You can know Him in your heart, in your life. Whether you ever see Him with your physical eyes or not, you can encounter the love of God. And we can see God and the love of God through people who we see. Through one another, we can experience and encounter God's love. Isn't that true? Have you ever been in the family with the Lord there in your midst? There's a song we used to sing back at pre-release. Remember, Chuck? It's called, Have You Seen Jesus, My Lord? I'll test his mind. I saw some smoke coming up right there. But it says, one of the verses is, as you ever stood in the family with the Lord there in your midst and see the face of Christ on each other, then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord, you see. We are to reflect His glory. And we can only do that as we are looking into His face, as we are worshiping Him in spirit. Amen? Worshiping Him in spirit. And you will look into the face of Christ, and then you will begin to reflect the same image, amen, of Christ to the world. Because they don't need us, they need Him. So we want Him to be seen and Him to be heard, Him to be encountered. When people encounter us, we want Jesus to come through. Amen. That's why Paul was saying, don't spend all your time, ladies, on just painting yourself up. He didn't say you can't do these, just saying that that's not the main issue. The main thing is that the inner person, amen, is revealed that this that Christ is being seen. Christ is being experienced because He is the true beauty. He makes us look good. Come on, say amen. He does. He makes us look good. Well, today we're going to, I say we, because this is a team here, you know. Even though I do all the talking and you have to listen. You get to listen. But I say we because this is something that we are doing together. This is something that God has called us to do together. Amen? As a body. It's not about the one person that stands behind the pulpit. It's about a team working together to promote and advance the kingdom of God in the earth. Amen. That's what He's called us to do. And we can't do that unless we are in Him who is our life. Amen? And we're abiding in Him. So today I want to talk about bread. As Christ is the living bread. And bread is that which satisfies, you know. When you talk about bread in the Bible, it talks about satisfaction. I remember the song by the Stones years ago, "I can't get no satisfaction." Well, you're right. You're not going to find satisfaction in money, women, or whatever, rock and roll, or the world in general. There's no satisfaction there. I mean, it's all fleeting. It's temporary, and it leaves you emptier than when you first invested in it. And but God is the one who satisfies. Christ is our bread. He said, "I am the bread of life." He didn't say, "I'm just going to give you some bread," because the people were fed. Remember, the 5,000 were fed by Jesus, the fishes and the loaves, and they were full. But and many of them, they just wanted to hang out with Jesus. And he says, "Hey, we're going to have free lunch every day, you know. This is good. We're going to overthrow the Roman government and we're going to have free lunch." And Jesus says, "You don't get it, do you?" He says, "It's not about the loaves and the fishes that you ate." He says, "I'm here to give you my life. And I am your bread. I am the one that's going to satisfy you. You're not going to find satisfaction in self-help books and tapes and seminars and yoga and meditation and TM and positive thinking and in good living and all these things that, you know, we're trying as techniques of visualization or whatever, you know, to somehow achieve a higher consciousness, to be somehow fulfilled, to be, you know, satisfied. We're looking to be satisfied, to be completed, to be filled, because we know there's something missing. There's something empty, amen, inside of us. And He is the only one that can satisfy. He's the only one that can feed us and fill us and make us complete. And He's saying, if you're looking over here and you're looking over there, if you're chasing after that and chasing after that, you're missing it. For the kingdom of God is within you. Now, I know the world has gotten a hold of that. They twisted it in the New Age, and they're saying you need to tap into your inner Christ, your own impeccable Christ. And what they're saying is the answer is going to be found in you. You are your own God, and the answer is going to be found in you. You know, the New Age is still the old lie, right? Eastern mysticism. It's all it is. The problem is within. Come on, that's where the problem's at. The more we look at ourselves, the more we don't like us, usually. The more we realize that I need somebody to help me out here. If we're honest about it, we'll say we're a mess apart from Him. But in Him, we're complete. He makes me whole. We don't have to live in some kind of complex. Why? Because Christ has set me free from myself. You got to be set free from you. Are you with me? We can't serve God until we're set free from us. Till we come to the place where we deny our soul, our self life. Take up our cross and follow Him. Then you're going to experience the bread of life. You're going to experience the true living bread. Yeah. So, we're going to focus on what this is because, you know, again, if we, again, attempt through our own works to somehow find completion. Sometimes we can do good deeds and feel good for a season in that. Are you with me? But it doesn't last. It usually lasts as long as a good deed. Unless that good deed was done out of Christ and not out of self. Whatever we do must be in love, and that means it must be out of Him who is love, Christ, and not out of self. When we do our works out of self and with an attempt to somehow please God, we still continue to walk in death. Because life is only in Him. And so, in order for us to be able to give life or share life or be a conduit through whom life will flow, it must be out of Him and not out of us. So we need to be able to distinguish what's of us and what's of Him. So we're going to talk about that this morning. I say we. We're going to talk about that. Now, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." What were we, why were we created in Christ Jesus? For good works. So we're not saying that we are not to live and do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But Titus 2:11 says this, I'm reading from the New Living Translation now, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures." In other words, we have to turn away from ourselves. "We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed." How many know He's coming? He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Totally committed to doing good deeds. Why did Jesus give His life? To what? Free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us His very own people. How many enjoy a good shower on the inside from the Lord? To have a clean heart, to have a clear conscience, to be at peace with God. That's awesome, amen? It's freedom in that. I'm not walking around in fear and in condemnation. I'm walking in the freedom and the liberty that Christ has set me free. I've been liberated, hallelujah, from condemnation. So our forgiveness and our new birth are totally a work of God by His mercy, which He poured out where? On the cross. However, when we are saved, we are given a divine purpose, and that purpose is to do the works of Him who called us out of darkness. So when we're saved, we are saved with what? With a purpose. So we know, last week we talked about how Jesus came to give us super abundant and superior quality life. That's what that word abundant means. It means superior, right? In quality and super abundant in quantity. He is an extravagant God. He is a more than enough God. He's not a skimpy God. When He says, "I have come to give you life and life abundantly," He meant to a super abundant life, folks. And so this life is possible if we will come to the right source to receive it. If we will quit relying on methodologies and religious practice and we come to the very source of life, who is Jesus Christ. And we feed on Him who is the living bread. And only He who is the bread will satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. And so God is trying to wean us off all the things that we depend on and that we look to make us feel better. How many have gotten addicted to drugs because they were looking for something to make them feel better? Amen? There are so many vices that we brought into our lives because we were looking for some way to feel better. Some form of entertainment possibly. And yet, true pleasure, true joy, true peace, true contentment, true fulfillment, true love is all found in Him who is all of that. You see, when God gives us life, He's not giving us pieces, He's giving us Christ Himself. You are complete in Him in whom dwells all the fullness. Everything we have need of is in Him. So if we're looking for love in the wrong places, you're not going to find it. You're only going to find it in Him. We were made for Him and for His pleasure, for a walk with God, for a relationship with God. And this should be our number one priority. Amen. Our relationship with Him. If we were to seek God's kingdom above everything else in our lives, and he said, everything else I'm going to take care of. So as we are made into his image, we are recreated in Christ by a work of the Holy Spirit. We are now to work with the Lord. To work with God. So our works have to come forth from him and not from us. Because whatever comes from God is life. Because according to 1 Corinthians 15 and 45, and I shared this last week, Christ is the life-giving spirit. The first Adam was a living soul, a living being. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, is a life-giving spirit. So life is not an activity. Life is not an entertainment. Life is not in things that we do. Life is only in him. And what we do that's in him and out of him is going to be life-giving. I came that you might have a superabundant life in quantity and a superior life in quality. And idolatry is where we are trying to fill that void in us with other things, lesser things. Come on. He is a jealous God. He loves us so much. He died for us. He shed his blood for us. He's a jealous God. He wants you. He wants me to have fellowship with him, to walk with him, to enjoy the life he purchased for us at the cross. He paid the price so we could go free, so we can enjoy life and life to the full. So he's the one that gives life and he sustains life because he is life. He's the one who feeds us. He's the one who satisfies us. John 4 and 34, Jesus said this. John 4 and verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, Jesus, when he said this, he had just sat down to rest at the well when he met up with the woman of Samaria. And they had been on a journey and they were tired and he was resting. And he had sent his disciples into the city to get food. And while they were in the city getting food, Jesus met with this woman and he began to share with her about the living water. Now he was and is the fountain of living water. And so while the disciples are away, Jesus is ministering to this woman because she was his assignment from the Father. And because he was in the will of his Father, he was actually having a spiritual meal by doing the works of his Father. You see, if we are involved in doing our works will wear you out. They'll wear us out. But the works of God will only feed and quicken you. We need to know the difference, folks. When we are doing our works, they quickly fade. We feel like we're almost dying sometimes. Have you ever been feeling like you're just dying doing something for God before? I have. I've been doing things in the past. I've done things in the past that God didn't tell me to do because somebody had a need and I thought, well, I got to take care of it. And I tried to do everything for everybody all the time and I wasn't getting anywhere and I was not happy. I was miserable. I was not satisfied in those things until I discovered my purpose. I discovered the will of God for my life, and I'm still discovering that. But I have discovered this, that when I discover the will of God for my life, and I do the will of God for my life, I'm always satisfied. I have a spiritual meal, a banquet in my Father's presence when I am in the place where he's called me to be. And I'm doing what he's told me to do. And I'm speaking what he's told me to speak. And we're not going to find it anywhere else except in him and his will for our lives. You don't need the artificial stuff of the world. If you find that your life is in him now. And the woman said, listen to the people. She ran back to the city and she said, come see a man who told me all things I ever did. I mean, Jesus read her mail, you know, about the five husbands she had. Could this be the Christ? And then verse 30, it says, then the people, they went out of the city and came to him. And in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. And he said to them, listen, I have food to eat of which you do not know. He just had a meal. They're coming back with natural food and he just got filled. Are you with me? Because he was in obedience to the will of the Father. How many are connecting the dots here? You're seeing it, right? The times in your life when you've been in the place where God has called you, you've done the things He showed you to do, you spoke the words He told you to speak, you have always been fulfilled. Amen? But when we get into a place where we are just kind of doing good things because it looked like a good idea, but not the things that God told us to do, you'll find that you will wither spiritually. You will not be sustained or refreshed in that. Whenever you and I do our works out of the Lord, we will be satisfied by it. So whenever we touch the Lord in our work, we will be satisfied in it. And again, I say this often, but whenever we attempt to work for God instead of with God, we're missing it. Because there's no life in it. When we're in the will of God, folks, we will be satisfied in it. How many have discovered that? When you're in the will of God, there's satisfaction in it. God is speaking to some today because you have been outside of that for a long time and you're not finding satisfaction and you are feeling empty and you're feeling like life is, well, what's the purpose of it? You know, is it just, you know, struggle and strive to get by and work a job and hopefully save up enough money to buy a house and a boat and a car and die? I mean, is that all there is? Come on, God has a greater and higher, superior quality of life and purpose for us, and it's called kingdom living. Yes. For our kingdom is not of this world. You know why Jesus could say that I have food to eat of which you do not know? Is because he was doing the will of his Father. The reason Jesus could do the things that he did was because it was in the will of his Father. And so the disciples said to one another, hey guys, has anybody brought him anything to eat? They didn't understand what he said. We just got back from town, man. We've got some good grub here, you know. And he's talking about, I have food to eat that you don't know of. And the reason Jesus could say that was because he was doing his Father's will. So, verse 33 says, therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? So whenever you and I do the works out of the Lord, we will be satisfied by it. Now, I'm going to give you a couple examples. How many here witness for Jesus? Tell people about Jesus. Okay, if you don't have your hand raised up, then you should. And you can start. But we're called to be witnesses. Are you right? Amen. Am I right? Okay, we're called to be witnesses. Now, when we are witnessing to people, when God gives us an opportunity and when he moves in our heart and he presses us to talk to someone or to share him with somebody, when we are speaking and we are speaking in the will of God, we are hearing and speaking the voice, amen, of God, then it will quicken you. It will bring life to you. But if we just go out and decide, I think I'll go talk to this person today. Okay, now we need to first of all know what God is saying. Has God sent you there, first of all? How many know that Jesus did exactly what the Father showed him to do? Amen. He didn't just do a lot of good stuff, he did the right stuff all the time. And that's why whatever he did had fruit, it had results. Except sometimes the unbelief of the people hindered what he could do. Why? Because he had all power, amen, to do whatever he wanted, but he resolved to walk totally in dependence of the Holy Spirit by the Father and by the Father's will. So just like you and I today, we can't do anything apart from him. We can't produce any fruit except by the Holy Spirit, right? As he directs us. Okay, so you're witnessing to somebody. When you are saying what God is saying, there will be life in it. Not only will there be life for the person that you're speaking to, but you will receive your bread. When we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we're praying for the will of God to be done, folks. Father, I want to walk in your will today so that I may be able to present Christ, who is the bread of life, to others. You've been praying for somebody? How about those of us, right? We pray and we intercede. That means pray on behalf of somebody else. When you are praying, there's times when you are praying in the will of the Father. Amen. You need to discover in prayer what the will of the Father is. The Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmities. He helps us to pray according to the will of the Father. And whenever you pray according to the will of the Father, how many know that your life is fed? You are satisfied by the bread of life. This is the meat, amen, that come down from heaven. The bread that came down from heaven, it's Christ. He said to the Israelites, he said, you guys, your forefathers ate the bread in the wilderness and they're dead. But he said, I'm the living bread that came down. If you eat of me, you'll live. And some people thought, man, he's talking about cannibalism. I saw an article one time in the newspaper, some guy that thought, this is a gory, sick, twisted kind of faith, because they didn't understand what Jesus meant by that. He was not saying literally, eat me. Hello. Right? He was saying that I am the bread. I'm giving my life for you. I'm opening up a fountain to you now that you can come, amen, into my presence and receive of me, of my life. You see, we're always going to God and asking Him for stuff and for things. He wants to give us Himself. When you give a gift to your kids, amen, it's so that they will respond to you. Right? Not completely make the gift all about the gift and completely forget about you. Are you with me? Like some spoiled kids, right? They get the gift and it was expected, you know? But when God gives us of Himself, it's so that we will encounter His love and therefore be able to respond back. Another example is when we're singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There's times when, we may not be right on with it. And other times when all of a sudden we've made the connection in the Spirit and there's life being released in that. Are you with me? We've touched the heart of God. We've touched Jesus. That woman last week, we talked about this, the woman who had the issue of blood and how she clawed her way through the crowd. And there was people all over Jesus touching Him. And yet when this woman touched Jesus, He stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Lord, what do you mean? Who touched you? Everybody's thronging upon you, and you're saying, 'Who touched me?'" He said, I sense that virtue has gone out of me. She received an impartation of Christ, the life, because she touched Him by faith. Amen. Wow. That's what I want, folks. That's what we need, is to touch Him and to be touched by Him. Same thing as when we serve, folks. There's things that God has called you to do. Every one of us has been called to serve. Every one of us has been called, amen, to good works. We were created in Christ for good works. And so when you are doing the works of your Father, the ones that He told you to do, you will find life and satisfaction in that work. Hearing the Word, reading the Word, same thing. Teaching and preaching. When I'm teaching and when I'm preaching, when I'm in the will of the Father and I'm speaking the Father's heart, there is an impartation of life. That's what we strive to do, is to be connected to the heart and the will of our Father, so that we're always walking and abiding in life. And when we abide in life, life will result. Are you with me? We will be able to influence and touch and heal and change others around us. Why? Because of the release of God's Spirit out of us. Because we're in connection with Him. But whenever we get outside of the will of God and even into good things, but they're not the things that He's told us to be involved with, we're in death and we quickly wither in that place. Is this making sense? Has anybody ever, beside myself, ever been there? You've been busy about this, all this stuff, and yet you weren't fulfilled in any of it. But when you're in the will of God, you'll be filled. I remember this. I bought a car one time and there was this bumper sticker on the dash, believe it or not, right there. But it said, the will of God, and that's the kind of cars I used to buy, by the way. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. So people say, how can you do what you do? They may ask you that, but you can only say it's because of the grace of God. How could Paul do what he did? How could Jesus do what he did? Because of the grace of God. He said, not I, but the grace of God that works in me. Why? Because he had denied himself and only resolved to do the will of his Father. And in that, he would find his satisfaction. And so, yeah, you're not going to get satisfaction in this world. I don't care how hard you try. I've been there, tried it, just about done everything you can do. And I found no satisfaction, no lasting satisfaction. I only found death in that. Once I came into Christ, I've discovered him who is life. And now I'm resolved to do my Father's will. Hallelujah. There's nothing more important to me than to do my Father's will. And because he's the one that satisfies. He's the one that completes. There's nothing like the satisfaction of knowing that you have done the will of God. There's not going to be anything greater than the day when you see Jesus and you hear him say, well done. You've done my will. How many think it's a good idea to know what God's will is then? So how then do I know God's will? I'm glad you asked. First of all, Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom. You must be born again, born of his Spirit. He didn't say, learn a bunch of Bible lessons. He said, you must know me. You must be born of my Spirit. I must dwell within you. You must receive me as your Lord and your Savior. That's this first step. And then, this is how I'm going to do it today. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. And this is what the Lord showed me about my own life and how I know and how I can know what the will of God is for me. Okay, the number one question you need to ask is this. What is your desire in God? Think about it. I mean, we can make those, you know, what is your number one desire in God? Secondly, what makes you come alive in God? If you're here today and you have been born again, amen, it's not a matter of religion, but you've been touched by the Christ, amen, is in you. You have been quickened by him. You've been made alive in him. Something has to take place if he's in you. Come on. You can't have the living God on the inside of you and your life remain the same. Come on. So if you're born again, your life will change and it will change dramatically. And all of a sudden, you're going to start desiring things that you would never desire before. So what are the things that God had first placed within you? What were those desires? Where is your passion at? What are you even willing to give up or suffer for Christ for, over? Where's your passion? These are important questions, folks. You've got to know who you are in him and what God has called you to be in him. What is your assignment? Now, the authority of that is in Philippians 2:13, where it says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Pay attention to the godly desires that are in you. When I got born again, I was in darkness. The light came on. Wow, life was good in the God zone. Much better. I like this Jesus. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to work for Jesus. You know, I want to be his number one pupil. Something took place. Something changed. And all of a sudden, I started desiring to talk to people about Jesus. Nobody had to tell me that I was called to be a preacher. Because I couldn't help but talk about Jesus, to praise Jesus, to share Jesus with other people. Are you with me? And it was the youth pastor at that time who told me, you've got the call of God to preach. Okay, not everybody's called to that specific ministry, but everybody is a witness for Jesus. And he told me I need to prepare myself for that. Okay, what is your passion? If money wasn't an issue, what would you give yourself to do for the rest of your life? What is the godly desire that he's placed within you, folks? You see, what happens is we leave sometimes that place of our first love, and we forget. We forget who we are. We forget that love and that passion and that buzz we had, amen, of just wanting more of Him, of wanting to feed on Him and be with Him and serve Him and love Him and make Him known. You know, we can forget that when we begin to shift away or walk away from our first love. Are you with me? So God said to the church of Ephesus that you need to remember from where you've fallen. You need to return to that place of your first love and do the first works, lest I come to you and remove your candlestand from its place. Do you understand that our candlestand is the life of God, and the life of God is in the will of God, and the will of God is revealed to you by the Spirit in your first love, in that first love that you had. And oh God, I want that passion. I want that fire. I want that love back in me again. Oh God, move in us, God. Stir up my heart, God, and give me holy passion. God says, awake. Awake out of slumber. Return to your God. Return to that place of intimacy. Seek the Lord while He is near. Call upon Him. So whenever the Lord moves in us and we move according to His will, we are fed by Him. We experience His life. And as long as we continue in His will, folks, we're going to be satisfied. You see, God's going to make sure that you're not satisfied outside of His will. The problem here then becomes that instead of us returning to Him, then we return to other things, or we return to our old life in some cases. It's called idolatry. We turn back to idols. We seek after lesser things instead of the superior quality life, a man of God, and the superabundant life that He wants to release to us as His people, as His bride. How many guys here like to make sure your wife is taken care of, right? You want to bless your wife, right? You better raise your hand. But we're the bride of Christ, and He wants to make us beautiful in Him. Now, I thought about this as I was going through this. The prophet Samuel was instructed by the Lord to rebuke King Saul for his disobedience. And so in 1 Samuel 15:26, Samuel said to Saul, I'm not going to return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. In verse 28, he said, so Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And who is that? David. And in verse 35, and Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Now listen to this. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Do you see Samuel's heart here? He took no pleasure in rebuking Saul. There was no pleasure that he had to be the one to go to him and give him the bad news. Because of his disobedience, the kingdom was going to be taken from him and given to another. That he was going to lose it because he disobeyed the instruction of the Lord. And so we see the heart of Samuel here. Because he loved God, he was obedient. And he went and he told him these news. And it says that he mourned. And he mourned for some time for Saul. He was brokenhearted over this. How many know that we should never rejoice in the failures of others? Even if they're your enemies, never rejoice over the failure of someone else. That's not the heart of God. God never rejoices in that, folks. God grieves over people who are lost. God grieves over people who fall. God is in the restoration business. Amen? If a person refuses to repent because of his justice, God has to judge that person. But he's made a way for us to be free, to be forgiven. And then in verse 1 of chapter 16, it says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel," this is after he had obeyed the Lord, hear this, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." Saul disobeyed, lost it. Samuel rebuked a fallen king in obedience to the Lord, and God told him, "Go and fill your horn with oil." Do you see how that even if we're called to rebuke a brother and sister in love because they're going in the wrong direction, that if you obey God in that, you will still be sustained by the life of God. You will encounter His life, His bread, His satisfaction in that. If you rebuke somebody outside of the will of God, then you'll feel death inside. But if you do it in the will of God, you won't lose life. You'll be satisfied. You'll be filled. Are you with me? And God will know that you're willing to do whatever He tells you to do, and then He will tell you, "Go and fill your horn with oil," which symbolizes the Holy Spirit. If we're faithful in little, He'll make us ruler of much. If we're faithful to the Lord in our hearts, to obey Him in our hearts, and to allow Him, amen, to have His way in us, to work out of Him and not out of self, then we will be fed by the bread of heaven. We will find satisfaction because He is the bread of life. It's true that we're not saved by our good works, but we are saved for good works. Amen. How many here, folks, to just be honest today and say, "You know, I know what the will of God is for my life. I'm at that place where I now know what the will of God is for my life." Just show your hands if you can say that. Yeah. Folks, I want to challenge you today. Set everything else aside. Shut yourself in with God. Seek Him. And say, "God, I want to." If you've never received Christ, today you need to ask Jesus, amen, to be the Lord of your life, to come into your heart. You need to be saved. But if you're a believer today and you're outside of the will of God and you don't know what God's will is, folks, there's nothing more important than the will of God, because your life will never be satisfied until you abide in the will of your Father. Till you get into the place where you are serving your Father, amen, in His will for your life. Until you get into that place, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be empty. You're going to be unfulfilled, because my food is to do the will of my Father. Amen? Amen. And your food is to do the will of your Father in heaven. Discover that place. Some of us, we simply need to rediscover. We need to go back and say, and would you bow your heads just right now and say, "God, show me, Lord, where I've missed it. Show me if I've gotten off, Lord. Lord, take me back to that old landmark, to that old place, that place where, Lord, I was so in love with You. I was so on fire for You. I was just in the love buzz of just submission and love for You, God. I want to come back. I want to go back to that place, Lord, of my first love. I want to know who I am and what Your call is and what Your purpose is for my life, because I want to only be satisfied by You. I don't want to give myself over to idols and to lesser things and things that are temporary and fleeting, but I want to live according to the eternal Word of God, the will of God for my life. And only in You, Lord God, will I find satisfaction. Lord, take me to that place. Take me back to that old place, God, that landmark where I'll make a new commitment, a fresh start in You, God. Put a burden in my heart, Lord. Put Your burden in my heart, Lord God, so that I will know where I need to carry it, what I need to do, where I need to go. Open my eyes to understand my purpose in You, Lord. Remind me, Lord, of who I am. Where is Your passion today? We need to rediscover the work He's called us to. And that's where you're going to come alive again. In Christ alone, who is our bread. In Christ alone, I place my trust. It's only in You, Lord. No one but You, Lord, can satisfy the longing of my heart. Nothing I do, Lord, could take the place of drawing near to You, of knowing You, knowing Your heart, knowing Your will, living out my purpose for which I was created. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. Hear what the Spirit is saying to you today. Say yes. Come back. Come home. Come home today. Return to your first love.